Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
I'm the true vine. I'm the genuine vine. And it brings great history to his statement because they immediately knew there's something big here.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. We conclude our study of the I Ams of John as Pastor turns to John 15. We'll look at the significance of the statement, I am the vine.
The I Am statements. Do you remember the first one? This is the first of seven, that these are all metaphors, pictures, analogies. Jesus, the master communicator, the great illustrator, takes events that everybody knew about. He mentioned all of them, starting with the I Am, because it's the most personal name of who God is. When he said to Moses, off of the question, who are you? Who am I going to tell who you are? And he says, I am that I am. I am above all else. And Jesus says, I'm taking that personally because I and my Father are one. We're one. I'm God. I am. He says, I'm the bread of life. He mentions as well, beyond I'm the bread of life, I'm the light of the world. He went on just later after moving out of the temple and he said, I'm the door. As you remember, we talked about the sheep and the goats, when he said, then I'm the great shepherd. He moved forward here in John 11 and said, I'm the resurrection and life. After lifting up and resurrecting from the grave his good friend Lazarus. And then you end up finding him making the statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Really spoken to his disciples in the upper room. That conversation concludes, and in John 14, verse 31, he said to those disciples, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence. And now you find the last I am the true vine. Look at your Bibles. Let's look at this passage here. I think it will be a understandable point to you that we are called to be cultivated. When he said, I am the vine, really what he's talking about, we in our Christian life are called to be cultivated because Jesus is the source of all of our productivity. This doesn't come out of us. This is not of us. If you're a Christian, God wants to help you to be productive, and he's going to cultivate your life in order to do so. How does this work? Jesus, knowing that just shortly these disciples are going to be in their own way pruned and cleaned, he's preparing them by saying to them this vital truth. Let me ask three questions with you, and if you're taking notes, I encourage you to do so. Let me give you these three questions. I've used them before. Let's take it here in the context of a metaphor. All right, these are three questions, and I bet you could ask these three questions like the mini text. Number one, what does it mean when it was written? In other words, historically, what was Jesus talking about? Very simply, when you look at this, you'll understand that historically, maybe the best thing is to quote Miriam Vamush from a book called Food of the Time of the Bible, because there are multiple fruit and produce out of the Bible. Fact is, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, there is multiple fruit that God says, I'm going to produce out of my land. Let me give it to you. It says there are seven species of the Holy Land. It says, for the Lord thy God brings these into a good land, a land of brooks of water. And then he mentions wheat, figs, dates, olives, barley, wheat, pomegranates, and grapes. All of these are in the Bible. Now, I think eating wholesome is a good thing unless you're going to Fiesta where they have some excellent chicken and rice. But these are healthy for you. Out of all of this, God selects through his son Jesus this one metaphor of grapes. Why he does this is because it is there on the hillside. He's walking down the hillside, and he makes the statement to his disciples somewhere in the line, stopping along the way, and he says, listen, there is this statement, I'm the true vine. I'm the genuine vine. And it brings great history to his statement because they immediately knew there's something big here. They weren't there with their steno pads. Evidently, that it was remembered enough that this was going to be repeated to you and me years later. And John documents when he said, I'm the true vine. Notice verse 1, my Father is the husbandman. It's the only time the I am statement is connected with the Father. And then he makes this statement here very simply, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. What does he mean by this? Let me give you what, out of food at the time of the Bible, is well statement. There are two memorable biblical passages, Isaiah 5 and Ezekiel 17. They demonstrate the hard work of viniculture. In other words, that's the science or the study of making of wine and working with grapes. And it's by turning it into a metaphor to which every grape grower, probably every farmer of every ilk could relate then and now. And no matter how skilled the farmer, the first two clusters of grapes would not appear for 5 years, and a marketable product, not for an entire decade. These vineyards that Jesus is here now with, we know them at least around for 10 years. They're producing fruit. And when I heard that, I thought, whoa, you put this in reality, that these vineyards that these disciples were among, this wasn't just, you know, put this in a little cup here and bam, in the month you get to see them grow. And, you know, by the end of the school year, whoa, look, it didn't go that way. And here these disciples, Jesus bending down, looking at these vineyards, and he again immediately makes him as the metaphor. What is that metaphor? Notice, let me give you a second question beyond what it mean when it was written historically. Number two, what does it mean today? Currently, how do you make application? When you read the scripture, Jesus does this for us. And this is what he very simply says. He says that number one, he says, the vine, the true vine. Jesus is identifying himself as the genuine vine, the only source of spiritual life. There's no other life found outside of him. He is the one. I'm glad to understand that also he says, and the Father is the husbandman. He is the vine dresser. He's the gardener. Jesus saying, listen, I'm this vine, if you could understand this. And out of this, he says, my Father, who he mentions 53 times in this conversation, more than any other time, he's referring to God the Father. God is spirit. Jesus is the icon or the character or the visible God. Then the Spirit of God, who's unseen, he's a spirit. And in that, Jesus is saying, listen, as a vine dresser, God himself is going to take care of the vine. And also, he says, notice in your Bible, the branches. That's you and me. That's the Christian. Here we are today, as it was with those disciples. These are the ones that you'll notice out of the branches, uses that figure, the branch depict the Christian. Now, how does all of this play in to you and to me currently, even as it was for those disciples? In this text, he mentions very simply four, if we can call it, baskets of fruit. Notice, if you would, he mentions it in verse 2 through verse 5. He said, every branch in me that bears no fruit. So he says, listen, I'm going to give to you the vine. And then he says, the vine dresser is God the Father. It's pictured here as a busy, active, faithful gardener working in his vineyard, an image already well established in the Old Testament. I wish we had time to preach through it all. We don't. So what does he use about all of that? He says, first of all, what does it mean to us currently with the vine dresser, the vine, the branch? Here's what he means when he says in verse 2, here are, and he identifies four groups or baskets, if you would. And he's saying to those disciples, and he's saying to us today, listen, here is where you are one of those four. He says, first of all, every branch in me that bears no fruit. Is it possible? Jesus is now talking to his disciples. Judas is gone. They have proved themselves to be committed to who Christ is. Every one of them had ultimately been martyred in one form or fashion. And he now, Jesus, says to them, listen, I don't want you to be as this first element with no fruit. And notice he says, every branch in me. He says there's no fruit. Now, he's not going to just leave it there. And by the way, let me, for those of you that take another level of study here, notice the contrast between every branch in me, and notice, if you would, when he makes the statement again about verse 6, if a man abide not in me. I personally read this very simply as verses 2 through 5 talking about Christians. They're in Christ. In contrast to verse 6, they're not in Christ. Fact is, in verse 6, if every man abide not in me, they're not in Christ. Notice what it says in verse 6 in your Bibles. He's cast forth as a branch, and he's withered. And the men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. And he's using the illustration of now these branches, like you and me, as a human would be a branch, and you have two categories. Branches that are in me, and this branch that's not in me. It's not connected to the vine. And so therefore, it's good for nothing. And literally, that was the case because of all other woods, Israel used all of them except for the vineyards. In that day, they didn't use it. It wasn't good for anything. They couldn't end up using it. In the Old Testament, the Bible talks about the vine wood. Don't even use it for sacrifice because it'd burn up too quickly, burn too hot. Couldn't use it for sacrifices. I'm sure they probably did something with it, but the reality is it was good for nothing. And I think Jesus was referring to Judas himself. He was not in me. He proved it by being entered in by Satan himself and said, go do what you have to do. It was just a few minutes before this. So it draws a very horrible future for a person not in Christ, not a Christian. They're not saved. They're not born again. They don't know Christ. And it's a scary thing to be so close to the truth. Listen to me. To be so close to the truth and miss it. 3 years, Judas heard the Son of God talking. Missed it. Scary. That scares me. I did for 20 years, man. I heard it. I heard it. I so thank God for his mercy at 20 in Buchanan, Michigan. My heart was opened up. I stood and I had an opportunity. I finally understood it. Heron, you got a choice. You want me or you want your own little way? Little California boy, go do your little thing. Grow your hair long, go surfing, work, and be a printer and make a lot of money. I'm so thankful. I said, God, I don't want my own way. I want your way.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.